Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
If this is your first time at Essential, give us a few weeks. I don't know. I always wonder what some people think on their first trip to Essential. For us, y'all, you know it's going to make sense at some point in Scriptures if you kind of follow where we're going. We're in a series about choosing and what the things that you need to choose in life, the decisions you've got to get right, because where you're at right now today is in large part because of the decisions that you've made, and how you finish that little chorus of the Jimmy Buffett song matters, because in this song, at one point, he says, well, some people claim there's one to blame, but, you know, it's really nobody's fault. You know, where I'm at right now is nobody's fault. Or then later on in the song, he's like, well, it might be my fault. It might have something to do with some of my decisions. And then by the end, he's like, no, I know it's my own fault. I know that I'm here because of decisions that I've made and the things that I've done. And I know some of the pushback that usually comes at this point is like, we're like, well, yeah, I get you for the most part, but you don't understand what's happened to me. You know, it was because of what somebody else did or was something that was beyond my control. And, you know, it just happened. You know, the life just happened. And I'll tell you what somebody told me. I was in that same little, you know, self-pity kind of loop and moaning about my situation and where I was at, what had happened, because it wasn't due to things that I've done. It was something somebody else had done. And I just was kind of like throwing my hands like, well, what do you expect? And he's like, no, listen, you're not the first person to go through this. Other people have gone through the exact same thing that you're going through right now, and they're handling it a whole lot better than you are right now. So quit the whole self-pity thing, take responsibility for how you're going to respond to it, and move in a healthy direction. And it's one of those things where it's like, I wish I had a different friend. But that's the kind of friend you really need. You know what I'm saying? You need somebody to get in your face and go, listen, don't just sit there and blame nobody. Don't just say that, you know, this just happens to be this way or it's out of my control. You, even in things that are beyond your control, you still get a hand in where you go from there because you get to choose how you respond. Your choices aren't made for you. You always get to choose how you respond. And so in this series, we're talking about not really the life decisions you make, like who you're going to marry and where you're going to live. We're really talking about the decisions that are even deeper than that, that will set you up to be able to make wise and healthy decisions for those things you typically think of are the big decisions in life. And so we start off in the series talking about how the biggest decision in your life is a decision about where you're going to spend all eternity. And you are created by a Heavenly Father who loves you infinitely, and He wants to spend all eternity with you. And Easter was basically a message from God saying, I love you this much. And you have a choice. Are you going to want to spend eternity with Him or not? Is this life really nothing more than the opportunity for you to choose to have a loving relationship with God you'll enjoy for all eternity? Then last week we looked at what do you look to for your supreme authority in life? In other words, what determines right and wrong for you? Do you make it up as you go? Is it a majority rules? Do you let whatever country you live in determine right and wrong? Or do you, along with me, look to the Bible and say, this is my ultimate authority. This is the ultimate authority for my life and who I am and what I believe. So this week, though, we're going to be looking at what will I do about my future? Will I choose to trust God with my future, or am I just going to freak out about every little thing? And that video in there was because when Jesus went to talk about this issue of worry 2,000 years ago, by the way, it's something even authors to this day are still quoting his words. Sometimes they misquote them, but they, you know, still go back to what he said. What he said is kind of frustrating. I mean, the first thing he says about worry in Matthew chapter 6, he's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. And at that point, you're like, easy for you to say. You know, you're God. For the rest of us, though, things aren't working out like we planned or like we thought, and we have a few things that we're not quite sure of, and we don't have the ability to see the future like you do, so we got some worries. We have some issues. He's like, no, I get it. Just put a bird on it, man. That's all you got to do. Just put a bird. Just you know, put a bird on it. It'd be all good. You're like, what? What? That's what he says. He says, tell you, don't worry about your life, what you eat or drink, about your body, what you wear. In life, more than just, you know, food and clothing. And then here it is. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds, man. And it's kind of like you're get frustrated. It's almost like hippie Jesus comes along in the middle of all your problem, and you're like, birds. Slap a bird on it. What do you mean, bird? You don't understand. I'm not sure if my wife's going to stay or go. I've got some real problems here. I'm worried about what's going to go on in my relationship. And you're just talking about birds? Yeah, man. You thought about the birds? Like, I don't care about the birds. My son's flunking out of school, and he's got some messed up friends, and he's making horrible life decisions right now. And all you want to talk about is birds? Yeah, man, you know, what about the birds? I've got a doctor's appointment this week, and I don't know what they're going to say, and whatever they're going to say is going to determine my future, whether or not I'm even here to know about birds or not birds. And Jesus is like, you done? Can we talk about birds? No, I don't want to talk about birds. He's like, well, when you're ready, let's talk about birds. Have you thought about birds lately? Have you watched the nature show and looked at birds lately? It's like, what are we talking about? Now, it's here at this moment is where I always kind of go to like, is this like hippie Jesus at this point, you know? Birds, man. And the thing about a hippie is completely detached from reality because they're stoned, right? I mean, they just have no concept of reality. And at some point, I say this, is that Jesus is not detached from reality because he's stoned. No, that's sacrilegious. He is detached, though, from your perception of reality, okay? And he is so infinitely in tune with what really is. He's trying to get you to pause for a moment, pull out of your perception, and go, can you just pause for a moment, pull out of the rat race of all this hectic worry you've got on, and can you just stop and look at the birds? Okay, fine, Jesus, whatever, I'll humor you, okay? Birds, yep, birds. It's like, you ever thought about them for a minute? You watch a nature show? Because we don't actually get out in nature. We just sit at home and watch nature, right? So I'm just calling it like it is, right? Hello, come on. Have you watched more nature live or have you watched more nature on TV? I love those Planet Earth shows and stuff. But have you watched how meticulously thought out and planned out a bird's life is by God? If you just like pause for a moment and just kind of think about it, I mean, how do they know when to fly south? I mean, they're flying south before it's cold. How do they know? Because if they wait till it gets cold, they're going to get caught in the snow. Yet they seem to know when to go. I can't get anywhere without a calendar. I don't see them with an iPhone. They just kind of seem to know. And what's crazy is like they'll show up on the Serengeti in Africa, these huge flocks of birds, at the exact same week that the stuff blooms that they need to eat. How does that happen? I don't know. But God seems to care about it. So Jesus is saying, have you thought about the birds? Have you seen how intricately all of this stuff works out? Do you understand the ecosystem that it takes for the birds to be able to move all over the world the way that they do? Do you understand at all about how this works? Well, no, I never really thought about it. But if you watch the nature scene and you've seen how intricate, yeah, it's pretty complex, just all these different things that they do. And he's like, okay, let me ask you the next question. Do you think God, as much as it took to plan out how a bird lives, do you think he cares more about that bird's life than your life? Seriously, do you really think that? Now, this is one of those moments where you've ever had those things where somebody's asking you a rhetorical question, but you're not really sure if they're really asking you a real question or not. That's kind of what, all of these are kind of intended to be rhetorical questions, but sometimes we take them and we go, well, to be honest with you, yeah, I kind of do think that God cares more about the birds than he does about me, because like you're saying, they don't seem to have a worry in the world. I got worries. They seem to be taken care of, but I don't know where rent's coming from this month. So come to think of it, yeah, Jesus, I do sometimes think maybe God cares more about the birds. He's like, really? You really think God cares more about the birds? Now, in this section, to kind of understand this section, you sort of have to see the very first word in verse 20, 25 is the word therefore. And whenever you see the word therefore, as my professor always said, you have to look and see what it is there for. In other words, everything that follows the word therefore is sort of like what follows something that came before, right? Like you're saying, because of this, and because of this, because of this, therefore you need to blank. Does that make sense? So whenever you see the word therefore, you kind of see what's the context here. And if you go to the context, he starts this whole section with the Lord's Prayer. It's up there in the beginning of chapter 6. What's the first line of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Our Father. Our Father. Now, do the birds refer to God as their Father? No. No, he says, listen, when you think about God, I want you to think about the most loving, caring, intimate, not every dysfunctional model you may be thinking of or however you've blown it as a dad or whatever. I want you to think about the perfect dad, the kind of dad you wish you had, the kind of dad you want to be. When you think about God, that's what you need to think about. Now, let me ask you again, do you think that God cares more about the birds than he does about your life? Well, I can tell you for me, it's kind of funny. I had this moment with one of my kids this past year, and we're leaving the house for the day, and out of nowhere, he says, Dad, you got money on you? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. What do you care? And he's like, well, well, we're going to be gone all day. How are we going to buy, how are we going to buy dinner? Why? You got a C note somewhere in the house you can go get to cover the expenses or what? I mean, I don't ever remember you pulling back for your billfold when the check came. What do you care if I got money or not? I mean, seriously, if all the things you got, you don't even have shoes on and we're trying to leave. What are you worried about the darn bill for tonight and where we're going to eat? Get your shoes on and get in the car. It was this odd sort of weird moment. Like, where is this coming from? Like, what took over this kid to all of a sudden panic, other than maybe God was just setting me up for a great sermon illustration later on. What on earth would take over my son and make him think, I got to make sure Dad's got money for dinner tonight, because if he doesn't have it covered, then I'm going to be able to eat. When did you ever roll out of bed on a Monday morning and say, Mom, let's talk about the menu for this week, because I can have the bus driver drop me off at Walmart on the way home and pick up some chicken if you need it. No, you don't think about dinner until I say, set the table. That's the first time you even worry about dinner. And all of a sudden, now here it is, 8 o'clock in the morning, you're worried about where you're going to eat and how it's going to get provided for you? Get in the car. Go get your shoes and get in the car. And the thing about worry is we're worried about all these details in the future. On and on and on and on and on. I love what John Ortberg says about our minds. He says, the very gift of imagination that makes the mind so glorious increases its vulnerability to worry. Because you have all these what-if scenarios. I mean, think of all of the what-if scenarios your mind can come up with. Crazy, crazy, oddball scenarios. Think about all the worrying you've done for stuff that has never, ever happened. Stuff that never came to fruition. And, you know, we worry, you know, all these surveys are done about all this stuff we worry about. And it's all the stuff that's far beyond our control. I mean, think about how much time you spend worrying about health, about what's going to happen, whether it be a surgery coming up, or maybe it's just some unknown thing that can happen in your body, or what if, I worry about this all the time. I drive on a lot of two-lane roads to get to church. And I always think to myself, what if somebody's texting while driving and they come over the middle line? I'm worried about that all the time because people are always swerving on Indian River Road or Elbow Road. I mean, doesn't that freak you out? Because there's nowhere to go. They swerve into you, it's lights out, right? And I would get to the point where I would start worrying about this stuff. It's like, whoa, you can't control other drivers. You know, what you can do is you can control what route you take and you control whether or not you're texting or not. Everything else beyond that, you got to get to the point and say, God, that's in your hands. You know, I trust you with that. You might be worried about your marriage and you know, you wonder, you know, well, counselor says, I got to start, you know, loving her if I want her to love me back. And I just got to make the first move. And I'm just worried, well, if I do, then maybe she won't. Listen, you can't control what she will do or what she won't do. You just need to do what it is that you need to do right now. Well, I worry about my kids and their grades and the direction they're going and whether or not they're going to be provided for and what kind of life they have. I don't want them living at home to the 30 like they are, the kids down the street are. I just don't know what's going to go on with all this stuff. You can't control where they're going 20 years from now, okay? But you can control and have an input into the kind of dad that you're at right now, the kind of mom you are right now, and how you're going to influence them. Because that child, I'll tell you right now, longs for your blessing. They long to be blessed by you. And you can give that blessing as freely and as often as necessary and as it's warranted. And just bless them and bless them and bless them. Why? Because it pushes them to continue on that right path to seek the blessing from you and not the first Guido kid who comes along who tries to whatever because his daughter... Moving on. Sorry. Prom was last night and all these pictures are showing up and I'm like, really? Sorry, I digress. Moving on. Where was I before I get notes sent in? What is it you're going to trust God for and the future? Financial future. You have no idea what's going to go on in the economy. But, you know, you can control how you're spending your money. You can control about how you get out of debt. You can get on a Dave Ramsey plan. You can get yourself in the best financial position, so no matter what happens in the economy with China and with Greece and every other country that's either taking over the world or collapsing the world's economy, you can always be in the best position possible by being debt-free and on a budget. You can get in that position. See, the thing about worry is worry fools you into thinking that you're doing something when really you're doing nothing. You get that? You think, I'm worried about, oh, yeah, I'm on this. No. While you're worrying, it's distracting you from the stuff you actually can be doing to make change right now, the choices that you can be doing right now. You see, worry is a paralyzing thing because it just freaks you out. The thing is, if you were to go back in time, and this is one of the things, this is one of my big beefs with God. I remember I was really frustrated when Melissa passed. I was frustrated because God didn't tell me ahead of time. That's why I was angry at God. It's like, we talk every day. He could have said something. If I knew that was going to happen to one of my friends, I'd have said something. You with me on that? And somebody finally said to me, he's like, what would you have done differently? Seriously, how would that have helped? How would that have helped? You know, the thing is so often we think, I don't know what I would do. You're right, I didn't know what I would have done. But you know, God got me through it step by step, every step of the way. And had he told me ahead of time and just let me freak out for a year, what would that have accomplished? So Jesus says, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's enough worries of its own, okay? Here's the thing. I always have misquoted this, and I've heard this verse misquoted. I always thought it said, worry about today. Isn't that how the verse goes? No, it just says, today has enough troubles of its own. Never does Jesus say, worry about anything, okay? He says, listen, today's got enough troubles. That word troubles is a word that means an evil or a dysfunction. In other words, what is there today, right now, that's not going right, that could be going better, that you can change? That's what you need to focus on today. Today has enough things that you can change right now without having to worry about what's coming up. You know what the word worry means? A divided mind. Now think about how scatterbrained you get when you go down all the different paths of worry in your brain. Because you get your mind chasing 35 different scenarios trying to make sure you got yourself covered for everything that happens. Now listen, I'm not saying don't take an active hand in the things that you can have an impact on. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying don't budget. None of that. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is there comes a point where there's an uncertainty about the future that you have no control over and you can't influence it, okay? When it comes to those things, God says, think about the birds, man. Just put a bird on it. Just go and say, you know, God, this is something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going to happen. I got to trust you. You see, here's the thing. What Jesus is getting at, I'll give you a summary of this whole section. He's saying, listen, if you are worrying, it's because of one of two things. Either you don't realize how much you matter to God, that's the bird thing, or you care about a lot of things that don't really matter in the big scheme of things. So either you don't think God matter, or you don't think you matter to God, or you're worried about stuff that doesn't really matter in the big picture of things. And so let's break it down. So we've already talked about how I don't think God, you know, cares enough to be worried about my future like I'm worried about my future. No. If he's worried about how the birds are going to be taken care of, trust me, he's got you covered. Okay, you matter to him far more. That's why he starts off the section, he's like a heavenly father. The other side of it, though, is sometimes I have a hard time trusting God because God says that he wants to be first in my life. I'm like, God, if I put you first in my life, all this other stuff's gonna fall apart, man. Like if I take out time to come to church, think of all the money I'm losing for, I could be working 7 days a week. You know, but if I come to church, then that's one less day I get to work. You know, how's that going to work out? Oh, and then I'm supposed to, you know, give to you off the top the first 10%. Well, how's that going to work? Because I can barely make my ends meet now. Once again, it's about trusting, trusting, trusting. God says, do you trust me? Do you trust that if you put me first? And that's what he says in here. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. No one can serve two masters. You'll either be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. It hits right at the stuff we worry about. How much of what you worry about is connected to money, finances? Just think about it. So it's like the top of the list. Number one thing that people worry about in this country is money. And he says, here's the thing. Can we agree that worry is an emotional issue? Your emotions go crazy? Your emotions are connected to what you're devoted to. Where your devotions are, that's where your emotions are. Where your devotions are, that's where your emotions are. And he's saying, listen, you're devoted primarily to something that shouldn't be in the number one spot. You're devoted to something other than me in your number one spot. Notice he also said in there, he says, hey, isn't life more than just what you're going to eat and how you're going to dress? Once again, is that a rhetorical question or is he really asking that? Is your life more? Is the most important thing in your life where you're going to get your next meal and what that meal is going to be and consist of and what kind of clothes you're going to wear? Or is there something bigger out there that is central to who you are and your self-esteem and your person and what makes you up? Because like we said it was 2 years ago, that series, Life Sucks Everything Out of You, we looked and basically said, if anything else is the number one spot in your life, it eventually is going to eat you alive. And part of the way it eats you alive is through worry. And you know who said that? An atheist. An atheist said, you know, if you put anything else other than God first in your life, it will eat you alive. That's what I've observed in my life. And you're like, why would you say that? And he's like, because it's true. It's just what I've observed. And he's right. He's legit. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you don't put me first, you're going to be worrying about all kinds of things. It reminds me of on Free Slurpee Day. I don't know what day of the year it is, but I always get a text message that says Free Slurpee Day. Y'all with me on that? Oh, that makes sense. All right, there you go. All right, so on July 11th, it's Free Slurpee Day. So one year on July 11th, I was dad of the year, and I took my kids over to Slurpee Place because I'm too cheap to buy it for them other days, and get them a Slurpee. And if you know about Slurpees, there's two stages of a Slurpee, right? Stage one is the straw stage, right? You can only go straw stage for so long before you go. And then you're not getting anything, right? What do you have to do next? Spoon stage. Now, sometimes you get the spoon that have a little straw, you know, get the straw with a spoon on them. That was like a neat invention, kind of like the spork. Well, I didn't do that because it's been a long time since I got Slurpees, and so I just got regular straws, but I did get them spoons, okay? So I'm good like that. So I knew that that was coming, had it all prepared for. Why? Because like a Heavenly Father, I'm caring about my kids and what they think next. They're only thinking about the straw stage. I'm thinking about the spoon stage that's coming up next, all right? So they're in the back seat. I'm in the front seat. I'm driving the car. This is back when they're both in child seats. They get to the end of the straw stage, and what do they immediately want and demand right this moment? Spoon. Dad, do you have a spoon? Yeah, I got one. I need it. Dad. Now, at this moment, okay, there is a semi-rig to my left, okay, and there is a texting driver in front of me, okay, and I'm coming up on an intersection. What do you think right now is the most important thing? Spoon while I drive like Dumb and Dumber going to the airport? Or ignoring what's in the back seat and waiting until it's safe, keeping all of my focus and attention on the immediacy of what really needs to be worried about right now, what really needs to be focused on right now, the problem at hand. And I'll get on the spoon when I get to the stoplight. You with me on this? How often do you think maybe you're crying out to God for a spoon now because it's what my indulgence needs at this very moment? And maybe, just maybe, God's trying to guide your vehicle of life to somewhere it needs to be for your own health, protection, and safety. Could that maybe at all be the issue? Could that maybe what Jesus is getting at? He's like, listen, isn't life more than just this stuff that you're focused on? Isn't life more than just what you're worried about? Isn't there a bigger picture? 1,000 years from now, will you still be worried about this? Can you tell me right now what you were worried about a year ago? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, maybe for some of you, like 2-3 of you, you've got like one major big life issue that's always been there, it's always been a thing. But for the most of us, no. I have no idea what I was worried about a year ago. It's totally gone. It's been resolved somehow, some way, done. And God's like, you know, the most important thing is my relationship with you. And you got to get that straight and you got to get that down. Because if you miss that, you miss it all. You're worried about a spoon when really you need to be worried about the bigger picture of something. Now, I know that's easier said than done. The last thing I'm going to kind of tell you about this passage in here in Matthew is when he says, do not worry, the Greek word there for do not is an ongoing action. So he's not like, this isn't like one of those choices that like you make and like, you know, I'm not going to worry. All right, what else? No, this is the kind of thing where he says it's an ongoing thing. Every day you've got to make a conscious decision to not worry. Now, ride with me here for a second. If you wake up every morning and say, I'm not going to worry today. Guess what you're going to do all day? You're going to worry. Okay, so it's one of those things that you have to sort of have an alternate thing that you're focused in on. You have to have an alternate thing you do. Well, worry makes a big deal out of small things. Would you agree on that? I mean, stuff that you thought was a major problem, you realize, okay, yeah, you picked up milk. That's good. Okay, I was all worried that we weren't going to have anything for breakfast tomorrow, and I was freaking out all afternoon. But okay, you got milk. Okay, we're good. Oh, the kid's going to have eggs instead. I didn't even thought about that. Okay. So much of life is in that category, right? While worry makes a big deal out of little things, worship and prayer puts both of them back in their proper place. Worship and prayer puts them both. See, what worship does is worship realigns my relationship with God. I realize just who God is and how powerful he is and what he can do because we sing songs about God's mighty hand and everything he can accomplish and all the stuff that I'm worried about because it just seems impossible, nothing can ever happen good. I just go, whoa, God, you got it. You're in control. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're great. You can do all things. Nothing happens without out of your control. As Job would say, Lord, I now have seen you with my own eyes and I know that nothing can thwart your plans. I got you, okay? Whatever you're going to do is going to do, and I just got to trust you along the way. Worship puts God back in his proper place and puts him back in first place, and everything else comes after that. Then the second thing about there is the prayer piece, and the prayer piece is where you basically say, okay, God, here's what I can do. Here's the stuff that's beyond me. That's you. That's all you, God. I'll do everything I can do, but everything beyond that, God, that's in your hands. Because I don't know what she's going to do, but I just trust you to that because you can move hearts and you can change minds. I can't control their drivers, God, but you can control that and you can keep me safe and you can keep them safe too. Father, these are the things that are beyond my control, and so these are things I got to rely on you on. And so this whole section right here falls into the context of the Lord's Prayer, which begins, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's a statement of worship, of just how awesome and great you are. And then right after that, priority, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So right there with that prayer and worship, right there, he's setting the framework and the foundation for this issue of not worry. Why do you not worry? Because every day you need to be praying and seeking out God. Every day you need to have times of worship where you're putting God back in his rightful place. And I want to be able to use like the rest of the time I have with you this morning to teach more and more and more on this, because tons of stuff, both in psychology that lines up with Scripture and with Scripture itself. But I really just thought what I really need to do right now is just stop and pray and let you just kind of pause for a moment and think about the stuff that you're worried about right now. There's a video, like a worship music video that's going to come on after I pray. And all I want you to do is just take that thing that you're worried about, focus in on that during this time of worship, and see where you're thinking and how you're feeling about it after just spending 3 minutes of focused worship on God. And see if it doesn't put that back in its right perspective. See if it doesn't move you back to a place where you understand just how much you matter to God and just what really matters in life, and move you to a place where you say, "God, I will trust you to do what only you can do, and I will do what only I can do." Would you join with me as we pray? God, I know that I have a hard time believing that you love me as much as I love my own kids. Because I'm always thinking and planning out their next step. I'm planning out their entire day. I'm planning out where they're going to go to school. I'm planning out trying to put them in a good position financially for life and teach them the morals and the structures and everything. And I know sometimes, Father, that the discipline I give them, they rebel against and they get frustrated with. And your word says you love me far more than I could ever love my own kids. And even if I intellectually or theologically believe that, I know I don't practically live that out. So, Father, in the same way that my kids have learned just to trust me and get in the car, can I trust you, Lord, to follow you every step of the way? Can I trust that if I put you first, you'll take care of things? You'll always see that I'm provided for and cared for. Help me, Lord, this moment to give over to you, Father, the thing right now that I'm stressed out and worried about. Help me sort out what it is that I need to do and can change, and the choices I can make, and what I just have to trust you for. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.